Fantastic. Well, you can be seated this morning. And so I am excited to be here with you. I did bring a couple of resources with me, two of my books. One is called Raising Children of Increase, like he shared with you. They're going to put my family photo up there that I do have 12 children. So I have 7 sons and 5 daughters. And so that keeps my life full and exciting. And I also have another book called Champion Confessions as well. And so you can get the ebooks of those for $5, or I do have a couple of hard copies left. We've just been to Maui. I was speaking at a conference there, a women's conference, and then we got to travel over last night and be with your pastor, and it was fantastic. And so we are excited to be here. And so I was talking to my husband this morning. I've been married for 22 years, and so that's a good thing, and it's a good thing to have someone that you can partner with and serve God with. And so we are excited about what God is doing in the nations of the world. And as I landed in Hawaii on our first night in Hawaii, in Maui, we got into our hotel room at about 3:15 in the morning, and we were tired. And you know how you get into a hotel room, you kind of snuggle all in, and you're like, okay, I don't have to get up too early tomorrow morning. We won't set an alarm. We'll just, you know, sleep in. Well, how many know it doesn't always go exactly as you planned? And so at 3:15 in the morning, we get in, we snuggle in, we're going to sleep in the next morning. But at 5:45 in the morning, the alarm starts blaring in the hotel room very loudly. And so obviously the last person who had stayed there had set the alarm for 5:45 in the morning, and it was now ringing for us. And as it was ringing, of course, I was kind of leaning over, you know, trying to hit it. And at 5:45, I was awake. Now, for me, when I wake up, usually I'm awake. You know, I'm awake for the rest of the day. And so immediately that hit my mind. I thought, well, now I'm up. You know, I've only had a couple hours of sleep, but I'm up for the day. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment at 5:45 in the morning. And he said, this is exactly what's going on in many people's lives, is I was in the middle of a dream when I got woke up by that alarm. He said, many people have carried a dream and had a dream, but somehow they've been woke up. Somehow the enemy has said to them, no, face reality. You're not to dream. You're not to pursue the dream anymore. You're awake. It's over now. The time is over. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me that morning, on Friday morning, and he said, just close your eyes. Go back into the dream. And so I closed my eyes, and I never can fall right asleep again. And I fell right back to sleep, right into the same dream that I was having. And the word that I felt like God said was that many of you need to go back to the dream that God has given you. That the enemy tried to wake you up to face reality, but we serve a God who does the impossible. We serve a God where miracles still happen, and we are not to be awoken into just facing reality, but we are to stand in the dream of God and stand in faith in what God has told us that he was going to accomplish in our life personally as well as corporately. And so as I entered this morning, that was fantastic worship. You should give the worship team a cheer this morning. That was fantastic worship. And I can truly say this morning that if I lived here, that I would attend this church, right? And so that's a good thing. You don't get to say that everywhere. But if I lived here, I would attend this church. And so I encourage you this morning to open up your heart to the word of the Lord. And so he gave me the word dream. And you can write it down this morning, D-R-E-A-M, and the word dream. And I'm going to begin to just teach this morning on what God said about us dreaming. And the letter D this morning is to dare to dream again. There may be areas of your life you're still dreaming, but there may be areas that now you've woken up or facing reality of maybe that's not going to happen. And the Spirit of God would say to you this morning, dare to dream again. Dare to go back to what God had told you to do. Dare to go back to what was placed in your heart maybe months ago, maybe years ago for some people. Dare to dream again. And Mark chapter 5 verse 34, it's Jesus said to her, we know the woman with the issue of blood. It says, Jesus said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go in peace in your heart and be free from your suffering.
And so Jesus looked at the woman who reached out against all obstacles, who reached out against all circumstances, and said, I have a dream inside to be healed. I have a dream inside to be whole. I have a dream inside to live my life and live with purpose and live with peace. And Jesus said to her, because you dared to believe. Turn to the person beside you this morning and look them right in the eyes and say, I dare you to believe. I dare you to believe. Jesus said, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. Be free from that pain. Be free from that ache. Be free from that turmoil of, is this going to happen? Or could this possibly happen? Or are my dreams dying? Be free from that suffering. Become whole. And so I was thinking about my life, and when my husband and I were in premarriage counseling, I wouldn't recommend this kind of premarriage counseling for anyone, but we had a traditional minister who was doing our premarriage counseling, and he had found out, the doctors had told me I would never be able to have children. And so one of my children had died before I was a Christian. I was pregnant at 16, dropped out of high school, and that baby ended up dying. And this minister had found out that I was told by the doctors I could never have children. And so he decided in this pre-marriage counseling, he would make sure that my husband was aware. So he said, Steve, you realize if you marry Carmen, you will be childless for the rest of your life. And of course, Steve was like, if I only have a goldfish with this woman, it's going to be okay, right? You know, when you're young, love it, it doesn't matter. And this minister took it very seriously. He said, no, this is very, very serious. And he said, I want you to say out loud 20 times, Steve, if I marry Carmen, I will be childless for the rest of my life. Now, we were young and we didn't know what we were doing. I was only 20 years old at the time, so we just kind of did what we were told. And so Steve began to say, I realize if I marry Carmen, I will be childless for the rest of my life. And he had to say it 20 times. Well, how many know that we're not childless, right? I mean, our cup overflows, right? And we continued on to be able to have two biological children. We adopted 10 children. But the scripture says, be free from your suffering. If you will dare to believe, all things are possible. And so it doesn't matter if somebody else has labeled you or someone else has told you it's an impossibility. Jesus said to the woman, because you dare to believe, you will be free. You will have a freedom from whatever would hold you back from the purpose of God on your life. And so we continued to build our family, and I didn't know we were going to have 12 children. It wasn't necessarily in the plan, right? And they came to us kind of one at a time or two at a time, and I remember every time we would go to adopt again, I would ask my husband, I would say, you know, just pray about it. And he'd say, I said, you know, I found out about this little girl, or I found out about this little boy, and just pray about it. And he'd say, you know, when are we going to stop, right? At what point are we going to complete this? And I remember I used to say to him, well, you know, if we get to heaven one day and we've taken one too many, do you think God's going to be angry, you know? And he would be like, no. And I said, but if we get to heaven and we've taken one, not enough, you know, I mean, there could be an issue, you know. And so we would always have this big laugh about it. And I remember at one point that he said, I'm good to 12. You don't have to ask me again. And so that's how we maxed out at the number of 12. But our God is a God who knows the desires of your heart. He knows what you desire. And he says, dare to dream again. Dare to dream again. Dare to begin to open up your eyes and say, God, what you have spoke to me, the desires that on my heart will surely come to pass. The letter R in dream is to remain around the right people. Turn to the person on the other side of you this morning and say, you just might be the right people for me. You just might be the right people for me, right? And if I was in this area, I think this is a good place to be with the right people. On Sunday morning, you are with the right people. And so to dream, to be able to fulfill that dream that God has placed on your heart, you must remain around the right people. And I'm going to talk about a few different people that will come into your life as a believer. The first ones are the dream smashers. These are people who come around your life and you begin to dream a dream with God. You begin to talk about what God could do through your life, and they just want to try to smash that dream. And I remember this happening to me when I first became a Christian and I quit doing drugs and I made the declaration and decision I would never drink another drop of alcohol again in my life. And people would come up to me and say, "Oh, Carmen, I give you 12 months. I give you 6 months. You know, you'll be back at it." And they tried to squash the dream. They tried to smash the dream that was around my life. And those were people that I had to say, "You're not the right people for me. You're not the right people to be in my close circle anymore." I remember when I started tithing in church. And people said, "You know, oh, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I wouldn't give away money." And I began to think, okay, you're not the right people to be sharing my dreams with, because God says that when I tithe, there's going to be an open heaven over me. And underneath that open heaven is a greater provision than what I could ever do just in my own ability. And so you have to realize there's these dream smashers that want to come around. And when you get revelation and you begin to serve and you begin to go forward with God, they want to try to smash the dream. And so these are the people we don't want to have in our life. Of course, there's the dream stealers as well. These are people who begin to get jealous or they're envious. They begin to come around your life and say, "You know, that's never going to happen for you. Face reality. Wake up from this dream. That's not possible. Things like this don't happen for people like us." And so you probably had some people come into your life who try to steal the dream. And I want to share a story about one of my daughters. One of my daughters was born in Haiti, and her biological mother was having a second child, a son. And in childbirth, both her and the baby died. And so then my daughter was left as an orphan. And so she was taken to an orphanage in Haiti and was being raised there. And then somebody had found out about her, and so they then took her in, and they adopted her to be part of their family. But these people weren't Christians, and the mother had some, you know, deep psychological issues and situations going on in her life. And so at some point, she actually tried to drown this little girl in the bathtub by holding her head underwater. And the father, the adopted father, caught her and made a phone call to a Christian adoption services and said, "You know, you gotta get this child out of here. My wife's gonna kill her." And so they did a quick evacuation of this child out of this family's life, and they were looking for another family very quickly, and they knew about another family who had wanted to adopt a little boy. So they called him up and said, "You know, we have this girl, this is the situation, would you consider taking her?" So they said, "Yeah, we will." And so this little girl moved into a second family that was going to be called her forever family. And so she moved into the second family and was adopted for the second time. And yet after they'd had her for a year or two, and they began to say, "You know, we didn't really want a girl. What we really wanted was a boy." And so they said, "You know, this isn't really working out. We don't want you in the family anymore." And so they began to tell her, they said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to put you on a plane, and we're going to send you back to Haiti to go back into an orphanage again." Well, luckily, and by God's grace, this little girl had already been taken to church a few times, not on a regular basis, but enough to know the Spirit of God, to know Jesus in her life. And she began to say, "You know, that's not going to happen. I'm not going back to Haiti." They said, "Oh, yeah, it is. We're buying a plane ticket. We're going to send you back to Haiti." She said, "No, I believe that I'm going to get adopted by pastors." And she said, "And I believe I'm going to live in a big castle." You know, and they were just like, "Well, that's impossible. There's nobody who has a big castle. And you know, nobody's going to take you. We already have made the decision that you're going to go back to Haiti." And somehow, through someone that I had known, I had got a phone call about this little girl. And they said, "You know, would you consider taking her?" And my husband and I prayed, and immediately we're like, "Yes." And so I found out the number of this couple and just sent a text message and said, "Don't put that girl on the plane to Haiti. We're taking this girl." And so as they were sitting around in their living room one day, this woman gets this text message and looks at this little girl and says, "I cannot believe it, but somebody is going to take you, and they are pastors." Now, this time she had not seen my house, but come on, I have 12 kids. I got a castle, okay? I got a large house. So when we picked up this little girl and we brought her home, not only were we pastors, not only were we a true forever family where she would never move again. But as she drove up and she seen our huge house, right, she was like, this is my castle, right? And so you have to understand, people will try to steal the dream. But God's dream stirs on the inside of you still. And you have to understand that what the enemy means for harm, God will turn for your good, and it will advance you in a greater way. And that's actually the story of my daughter, Jasna, who's sitting on the front row this morning. So give her a cheer this morning. And now Jasna is on our worship team, and she works in our children's ministry as well. What the enemy means for harm, God will turn for your greater benefit. There are also people who are dream shrinkers. You begin to talk about God's dream for your life, and they believe it, but they just try to bring it down a little bit, right? They just try to make it a little bit smaller. They try to just simply show you how it could just diminish a bit, how it could be a little bit more practical. And this happened in my life when I began to declare and say, you know, God had called me into full-time ministry, and I was traveling and preaching as well as pastoring a church, but we felt that we were supposed to homeschool our kids. And people said, it can't be done. You can't travel. You can't be in full-time ministry and homeschool your kids at the same time. Like, that's just not possible. And so they're the dream shrinkers who begin to come around and say, that's not possible. Let's just bring it into reality. Let's just bring it down a little bit and begin to think about how this could more practically work. But we serve a God that will always give us something that is impossible. Because if it's not impossible, then it doesn't require faith. And God says that we please Him when our faith is activated in our life. And so if we can just manage it on our own, in our own ability, in our own strength, guess what? It's probably not God. Because He will always give you something that is greater, greater than what you can handle on your own. Turn to the person beside you this morning and say, I can see the greater on your life. He will always give you something greater. Now let's get into some good people that we want in our life. There's the dream supporters. These are the people who encourage you. You know, you find these people often on your serving team in church. When you begin to really serve, you know, when it's not just kind of like a once every couple of months I do something, but when you come on a team and you begin to serve in church and you plug in and you say, whatever needs to be done, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to be part of it. I'm going to separate some time in my life and I'm going to begin to serve in these serving teams. This is where you find the dream supporters. These are when you find the people that encourage you. These are where you find your prayer partners who support you and say, I believe in the dream that's on your life. They may not be able to facilitate it, but they can support you, and they can encourage you, and they can stand with you and say, I believe it's possible that God can do what you say God has told you He's going to do in your life. The next one is the dream stretchers. These are the people that push you, that motivate you to expand your vision. They get you to begin to think broader, to think bigger, to think differently. And they're going to show you a picture of my one son, Jacob. And he has his face kind of scribbled out there. And I think he thought if his face was scribbled out, you couldn't tell who he was. But I'm just going to tell you, this is my son, Jacob. And 370 days ago, so just over a year ago, he would come to me and say, Mom, I'm chubby. Now, he was 17 years old at the time, and I'm a really encouraging mom. So I would say, you're not chubby, Jacob. It's just baby fat. You know, and he's like, Mom, I'm 17 years old. It's not baby fat, right? And so he would come up to me again, Mom, I'm chubby. Mom, I feel chubby. And this continued to just keep happening and happening. And finally I got to the place, because he was always holding a bag of Doritos while he was telling me, Mom, I'm chubby, while he's eating Doritos. And finally I got to the place, I said, stop talking about it and do something. If you don't like what it is, then change it. But don't come to me complaining with your bag of Doritos that you're chubby. If you want a change in your life, you're going to have to stretch. You're going to have to decide, I want a change in my life. And so this is 1 year ago, last Sunday. So 370 days, they're going to show you the picture of Jacob now. There he is. So in 1 year, He transformed his body. Now, you may not need a transformation on your body. I think I probably need a transformation on my body. Now they're working on me, right? But you may not need a transformation in your body, but you may need a transformation in your attitude. You may need a transformation in your finances. You may need a transformation in your marriage. You may need a transformation in some area of your life. And in 1 year, your life could look completely different than it does this morning. Because we serve a God that when we begin to stretch and you begin to get around people who will stretch you and say, if you don't like it, stop complaining about it. Do something about it. Begin to embrace a change that will produce what you really want in your life. Then there are the dream shapers. And these are people who help you redefine the dream in your life. They ask you some of the hard questions to make sure you're going in the right direction. And these dream shapers are so important. They are mentors in your life. They're pastors in your life. They're small group leaders in your life that God brings into your life to help you shape the dream, to make sure that you don't get distracted, that you don't get detoured. And I remember as a young girl, I was about 19, 20 years old, and many of you maybe know Pastor Mel Mullen. Does anybody know Pastor Mel Mullen? Okay, he's going to be here, I think, in January. So I was about 19, 20 years old, and I was training for the ministry, and one day this opportunity came to me that I could go to Africa and work and serve in an orphanage. And I just thought, that's just such a great opportunity. I love to travel, love kids, and so I thought, I'm going to do this. And so I said, yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm going to spend a year there, and there's nothing wrong with that. That was my decision I'd made. But Pastor Mel found out about it, and he came and found me. And if you've ever met him, he's a fairly direct person. And he came and found me. He said, what has God told you that you're going to do? I said, well, he's told me I'm going to preach the gospel. He's told me I'm going to train leaders. He's told me that I'm a communicator of the word of God. And he said, and exactly how is wiping a baby's butt in Africa going to get you there? And I remember just standing there thinking, well, like, I'll be a better server. He was like, no, what you need to do is not be distracted from the dream that God placed on your life. What you need to do is focus in and zone in on the gift of God on your life and begin to develop it. And that's going to take you now focusing right here, right now. And I remember we left, and you know how you can get a little bit offended by those people who come into your life? You're like, I didn't want to hear that. Like, you know, I'm not going to be controlled. I can wipe a butt in Africa if I want to, right? And I went home, and I had a little, you know, issue in my heart. But by the next morning, I was like, he's right. He's a dream shaper. That he empowered me to not be distracted from what God has told me to do. And you need mentors in your life who will help you not be distracted. There's a lot of good opportunities, but not every good opportunity is a God opportunity. And so you need the dream shapers around your life. And the last one is that you need the dream shifters. And these are people who carry the anointing of God. You probably heard it said that some things are better caught than taught. It's like a moment with them. When they place their hands on you and pray for you, something shifts in your life. A problem that you have just falls off. A mindset that was holding you back is all of a sudden rearranged in just a moment. They are dream shifters. They literally take you from one place and shift you into something that is greater in a moment. Why? Because of the anointing. And the Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that brings the freedom. It's the anointing that can cause you to do in 1 year what would take somebody else 10 years. It's the anointing that can cause you to do in 1 month what would normally take somebody 1 year. It's the anointing that can cause you to do in 1 week that what would normally take somebody 1 month to do. And so we need anointed people around our life who know God, who are connected to God, who know his presence, know his power, and know his provision, and are there beside us to lay hands on us and pray for us, and they empower us to shift into what God has called us to do. The word dream this morning, the letter E, is expect prophecies to come to pass. You have to expect when God has given a word, a prophetic word over your life, and we had a word this morning that many of you responded to, that that was God speaking to you as the prophetic word went forth. We have to remember and expect that if God has given us a word, surely it will come to pass. We have to expect that that word is going to come to pass. It's not just a word that we hear and say, well, we'll see. You know, it has to be a word that we expect. If God sent somebody to say it to us, then surely it will come to pass. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 says, don't downplay prophecies. Now, how many have ever had a prophetic word this morning? Give me a wave if you've had a prophetic word. One thing you'll notice about prophetic words is they are often quite large. They're often, you know, quite big. They're often, I call it mind-boggling, right? It's almost like, well, how is that possible? The prophetic word will always speak of something that will seem impossible to you. And so our church facility, we have a wonderful church building that we have, but we've just simply outgrown it. We have 3 services on a Sunday morning, and we just don't have any more room anymore. So we knew it was time for us to begin to, you know, begin to look for land and begin to build a bigger facility. And there was one particular piece of land that 18 years ago we had saw. We kind of, you know, jumped over the fence and poured a bottle of olive oil over it and just said, you know, we claim this land for the Lord. This is going to be our future land one day. And that was 18 years ago. Several times we approached the owner to see if he was willing to sell, gave him our number. And for 18 years, it was completely stagnant. There was no deal on the table. There was nothing that was happening. And so in April this year, 2018, we had a prophet come through our church. And she was prophesying and over people, and then she called us forward and she said, the Lord says there's a piece of land that you've been looking at for a long time. And God says within 6 months, you will have the title deed to that land. Well, immediately, you know, my mindset kicked in and I thought, that's impossible, right? And it would be possible, it would be a miracle if we were just in a deal in 6 months. But the prophetic word said, you will have the title deed in your hands in 6 months. And so I listened to the prophecy over and over again and looked at this word, don't downplay the prophecy. Really, that means don't doubt the prophecy. Don't let the prophecy be hindered by your reality thinking. And so I listened to it over and over and over again, and I began to speak out the prophecy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 says, with this encouragement, use your prophecies as a weapon as you wage spiritual warfare with your faith. The Word of God says your prophecy is a weapon of faith. It is a weapon of faith to cause that which is impossible to become possible. And so we began to do this, listen to the prophecy and speak it out. And after 3 months of doing this, all of a sudden we got a message one day from this man who owned the land. And he said, you know, we're going to sell this land to you. He said, there's 2 conditions on this land. The first one is we want $700,000, which was a great deal because of the fact that it's worth over probably $1.2, $1.3 million. So it's a great deal. So the first condition is we want $700,000 cash. And we want it in 90 days. Well, how many know that that can seem like a bit of a problem, right? That could be a bit of a problem. So I was like, okay, this is great news. 18 years we've been believing for this land. No deal on the table. All of a sudden, we find out they're willing to sell to us. $700,000, great price. But we have to come up with $700,000 cash in 90 days. And we began to take out the prophecy again and listen to it again. Within 6 months, you will have the title deed to this land. And so we began to just believe God. We began to say, God, if you said it, we expect that it will happen. God, if it's your vision, we expect the provision will be there. And people in the church began to rally, and some people took extra shifts at job. Some people, you know, sold a vehicle, a second vehicle that they had. People began to do their part. Whatever part it was, they began to do their part in the thing. And as we had unity in our house, in the house of God, the Bible says, where there's unity, God commands a blessing. So as there was unity, some people were, you know, simply returning bottles and getting money, and some people were taking extra shifts. But as we were in unity in the house, in 90 days, we paid in cash, October 30th, just before I got on the plane to get here, in cash, $700,000. And on October 30th, we had the title deed to 13 and a half acres of prime real estate right on the overpass of where we live. Not only that, they're building a mall right across. You know, it's been predicted that that particular land will be worth $7 to $10 million within just a few years because of the development that's going on. See, we have to expect that if God has said it, God has a part to play, but we have a part to play. And so we wage that warfare with the prophecies. We begin to say, God, what's my part? And as we do our part, God does his supernatural part, and it comes to pass. And so in the dream, you must expect, if God said it, surely it will come to pass. The letter A in dream is to absorb his word. Absorb his word, absorb his presence, absorb his power. And most of you have seen a sponge. And how many know that a dry sponge doesn't do any good, right? But you put that dry sponge into water and it absorbs something. And all of a sudden you have something that when you squeeze, you have life that comes out. You have H2O. You have water that comes out of a wet sponge. And so we must absorb his word, absorb his presence, absorb his power. And that's why I encourage people, even with the champion confessions, that I get out the champion confessions and I speak the word of God over my situation. I speak the word of God over my family. I speak the word of God over my finances. I must absorb the truth of what God has said. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says, your spiritual roots go down deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength. I believe there's someone here this morning that needs to be your word. God, you continually infuse me with strength. And it says it comes from the word of God. It says that you will be encouraged in every way. Turn to the person beside you and say, you will be encouraged in every way. You'll be encouraged in every way because of these spiritual roots in the word of God. It says, for you will be established in the faith as you have been absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him. It comes from our devotion to him. It comes from our relationship with him when we are absorbed in his presence, absorbed in his word, absorbed in his possibilities, absorbed in his power. And when we are absorbed in what God is doing, guess what? When we are squeezed, life comes out of us. Life comes out of us where we are absorbed with just ourselves. How many know that when the circumstances of life squeeze us, all that comes out is ourselves? But if we are absorbed in God, when we are squeezed by circumstances, life comes out of us. Life and life abundantly. And so God's word is there for us every day. We must absorb ourselves in it. You know, God's spirit will lead us every single day. And I have found out that most of us are like the rest of us. True? And most of us need God on a daily basis. True? That we cannot do it on our own. Most of us need God on a regular daily basis. And I am no different than you. And I had a situation happen, you know, a few weeks ago. And my one daughter, I actually have 7 kids that are in college right now. And so my one daughter came home from college, and she's a real happy person. She's lively. She's beautiful. But she came in, and she walked into the house that day. We were sitting down having a meal together as a family, and she was coming in late, and she looked differently on her face. And so I ran over, and I said, what's happened? What's the matter? And she just began to cry. And you have to understand, this is one of my daughters that doesn't cry very often, okay? And she began to cry, and she said, no, I was at school today. And when I was at school, one of my teachers came in, and they were having a bad day. And they began to, you know, yell at people, and then she began to yell at me and tell me that I was incompetent and that I was stupid and that I couldn't do this. And then she began to swear at me and use the F word at me. And so she's telling me all these things that happened in college that day by one of her teachers. Well, how many know that I'm a pastor? I'm a Christian, right? But I am also a mother bear. Okay? And so everything inside of me was getting heated up. And I was getting hotter and hotter, right? And so if you saw the picture of my girls, I have 5 daughters. They all have beautiful brown skin.
And I have very white skin that needs a tan in Hawaii very badly. And so, you know, we often joke about, they talk about how, you know, black mamas are so passionate, right? And so I've always said, you know, you have a white mama who's just as passionate, you know, as any black mama can be. And so she's telling me about being swore at, being cussed at, being put down, told that she was incompetent, that she couldn't do this. And the heat is rising on the inside of me. And so I looked at her and I said, you're going to go back to school tomorrow. You're going to go look at that teacher right in the eyes and you're going to say, my white mama is coming in to deal with you. And somebody's going to lose their job today. And my daughter's like, no, mom, that's going to be so embarrassing. You know, you don't do it. Pretty soon, all my kids are out and my boys are like, oh, I would be so scared right now if I was that teacher. If mom goes in there, I guess it's not going to be good. And my daughter's like, promise me, you're not going in there tomorrow. She's like, I can handle it. How many know I'm a mother bear? And I needed Jesus in that moment. I needed God's peace in that moment. And here my kids are surrounding me like, mom, are you still a Christian? You know, are you still saved? You know, forgive, turn the other cheek. You know, they're trying to make sure mom's okay spiritually because they can see me getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And so I said, okay, I'm not going to go in there. But I laid in bed that night and I thought, I didn't say I wasn't going to call. I didn't say I wasn't going to email. And how many know you can really give somebody a good email? True, you can really let somebody have it over email. And so I'm sitting there and the fire is still in me. And the Spirit of God speaks to me and says to me, Carmen, do you not think I can take care of your daughter? Do you not think I can protect her? She was mine before she was ever yours. Do you not think that I'm a good father? And don't you think that you can trust me? And he gave me this verse in Romans chapter 12. It says, for if you don't take justice into your own hands, I will release justice, says the Lord. And I said, God, I know you will, but sometimes you take a while. And I was kind of planning on some quick action happening here, right? And the Spirit of God said, trust me. Trust me. See, most of us are like the rest of us, that we try to take things in our own hands, that we try to make things happen in our own hands, and we need to be absorbed in His Word, absorbed in His presence, and absorbed in His power, that we can still hear the voice of God speaking to us, saying, Carmen, cool down. Carmen, don't you think I can take care of her? She is my daughter. I love her, and I can release justice for her. And so in that moment, laying on my bed, I surrendered to God. And I said, okay, God, she's yours. She is first your child. How many parents in the room? If you're a parent, that's the hardest prayer you're ever going to pray. It's, Lord, they are first yours, not mine. So I went to sleep that night. My daughter went off to college the next morning. And she got home from school the next day. And I was like, what happened? And she's like, Mom, you're never going to believe it. Like, and I was like, try me. And she said, I walked into my classroom, and when I got there, her desk was completely cleared out. She said she didn't know, but there was a couple other staff members who had witnessed everything. And she said, before my class even started today, she had already lost her job. She was already out of the facility. See, our God can bring justice. If we will allow the justiceness of God, He will bring justice on our behalf. But we have to be absorbed in His presence, absorbed in His Word, absorbed in His power, where we can let go the control ourselves. And let God do what God can do. And the last one this morning, the letter M in dream, is realize that there will be a manifestation of your dreams. There will be a manifestation of your dreams. It doesn't matter what circumstances look like today, there will be a manifestation of your dreams. And you may feel this morning that you have some broken dreams in your life, but under the anointing of God, those broken dreams come to life and they become His dreams. They become something greater. Ephesians 3:20 says, far greater than you could ever dream or imagine or pray for. It is the greater. So even if this morning you hold a broken dream under the anointing, there will be a manifestation of that dream coming to pass. We know Joseph in the Bible, he had many broken dreams. And then we see God move on his behalf and take him into something that was far greater than he could ever imagine. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." What is the story? The story is you had some broken dreams, but under the anointing, there was a manifestation of something that was greater than you could have ever done yourself, something that was bigger than you could have ever worked with your own muscle, your own intellect, your own ability, your own gift. It was something that was greater. And I have one of my sons, his name is Josh, and this particular son was born in Haiti as well. I have many children that we adopted from Haiti. This particular son was born in Haiti. And his birth mother, I think they have a picture of him. This is Josh. He's actually preparing. He's going to be leaving for the Philippines as a missionary right away here. And Josh was born in Haiti, and his birth mother tried to murder him and threw him down the bottom of an outhouse toilet to kill him. As far as she was concerned, he was already dead. Many people came around that toilet and seen that there was a baby down that toilet. And people said, "Don't get involved." And they looked down and said, "Well, he's almost dead anyway. Just leave him there." And there was one particular man who looked down that toilet. He was a Christian man, and he looked down, and he said, "Well, you know, I got to do something." So he asked his wife, and his wife said, "Don't get involved." In Haiti, people are very superstitious, so she said, "You're going to be with the police. They're going to record your name." And she said, "Don't get involved. It's not our problem. But, you know, God's going to use you to bring a manifestation of somebody else's dream." That is when you've really lived and maximized your potential, when it's no longer just about your dream, but it's about His dream. It's about something that's greater. It's about a corporate dream that God is doing. And so this man wrestled with it. He said for 4 to 5 hours, he wrestled with, should I go back and look for that baby? And after 4 or 5 hours, he finally said, I got to go back. So he had some entire rope around his waist and lower him down the outhouse toilet. And as he got down to the toilet, he picked up this baby and brought it up. He assumed the baby was dead. But when he got the baby up, he began to realize, he said, this baby is still actually breathing. This baby is alive. He was all cut up and very badly bruised from hitting the cement as he had went down the outhouse toilet. The doctors predict he had been down there for about 2 to 3 days. He had digested so much urine and stool from gasping for air. In this, the doctors had said, you know, he wasn't going to live. So this man took him to an orphanage and said, you know, here's his baby. And the orphanage said, we're full. We don't got any more room. We're already packed out. And he opened up the T-shirt he'd wrapped this baby in and said, this is the baby. This is what I found. And they said, give us the child. So they took the child to the doctor. The doctor said, he's not going to make it through the night. And we happened to know the lady who ran that orphanage, and she contacted us. And she said, will you pray for this child? He's not going to make it through the night. And I told my husband, and my husband began to pray. And he said, this baby is going to live and not die in Jesus' name and declare the wondrous works of God. He said, he will live and not die. He will live and not die. He will live and not die. And as he was praying like that, all of a sudden he turned to me and looked at me. He said, this is our son. To which I said, I thought we were done, right? You know, I actually thought we were done this time. It was like the table was flipped, right? He said, this is our son. We're going to adopt this child. And so the next morning, we get a call from the orphanage, and they said, you know, he survived the night. But the doctors say they're going to amputate his legs because they'd been sitting in the urine and the stool for so long that there was nothing left. And so the doctor said they're going to amputate his legs. And we said, can we have a chance to pray for him? Can we pray? So they said, okay, we'll give you a day. We'll give you 24 hours. So we began to pray life into those legs, that those legs would respond to the written word of God, that by Jesus' stripes, they are healed. And we began to release that word in Canada over a child that's in a totally different nation in Haiti. We began to release the word of God. And God says that my word will never return void. It will accomplish that when it is sent. Turn to the person beside you and say, you got to be a sender of the word. You got to be a sender of the word. You got to speak it. You got to send it. And so the next day we found out they weren't going to amputate the legs. It took 90 days, 3 months. But in 3 months, Josh had a clean bill of health. Completely healthy, completely healed, completely whole. And so we always say it like this in our family. Worst start, best finish. Worst start, best finish. And for some of you, you might have had a bit of a rough start in areas of life. Worst start, best finish. There will be a manifestation of your dreams. There will be a manifestation of God's goodness, His grace, His power, His ability upon your life. You might have had the worst start, but guess what? You're going to have the best finish. And I declare that over you this morning. You will have the best
finish.
And so this morning, I felt like what the Spirit of God was saying, and I know you've been fasting, many of you have been fasting, you're going to have communion this morning. But what I felt the Spirit of God said was that as you take communion this morning, many people can do things like more out of religion or tradition, and I know you don't do that here, but I believe when we take communion, we position our heart to receive. We first position our heart in thanksgiving for what he's done, but then we position our heart to receive something. And we've had many people in our church come up and take communion and receive their healing as they took communion, receive the creative idea that they needed as they received communion. And so this morning, what I believe the Spirit of God is saying is that some of you might have had a rough start in certain areas. Some of you might be struggling this morning and have a real battle in front of you this morning. But God says, worst start, best finish. And as you take communion this morning, position your heart to be a receiver. To be a receiver that dare to dream again. That the dream will be awakened inside of you. If you're in the position this morning, you say, I don't even have a dream. God is the giver of dreams. He is the one who imparts a dream into your life. And so this morning as we take communion, be a receiver of the word of God. So that then you can be a giver of the word of God. And so I want to pray for you this morning. Before we do that, if you can close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment this morning. As we're closing the message, and I've talked about so many miraculous things that God has done. You know, the greatest thing that he's ever done is when he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. That's where it all starts. And when I gave my life to Jesus 24 years ago, everything began to change. It didn't all change in a day, but it's been a 24-year journey of things getting better and better. And sure, there's been times that things have been tough, and sure, there's been times I haven't been sure how it was going to turn out, but God has proven to be faithful every single step of the way as I am absorbed in him, as I serve him, serve Jesus with all my heart. And so this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask if you're in this facility this morning, and maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never said, Jesus, I need you to be the leader in my life. Or maybe you're in the place this morning that you say, I have done that before, but I know I'm not absorbed in him anymore. I know I'm not really living for him in the fullness of what I could live for him. And today the Spirit of God is speaking to you. And you feel that tug on your heart. You feel that tap on your shoulder. There's something greater for you. And you want to be more absorbed in him. And so if either of those of you this morning with no one looking around, I want you to just simply give me a hand wave this morning, because I'm going to pray for you and I want to know who I'm praying for. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Fantastic. You place your hands down. Anybody else this morning? You either need to give your life to Jesus or you need to be more absorbed in what God is doing. Thank you. Thank you. Fantastic. Fantastic. Go ahead this morning. I want to encourage every person to put your hand on your heart. And I'm going to pray this morning, and I encourage you to simply repeat these words after me as I pray. And we're going to believe that God's going to do a tremendous, mighty work in your life. And so I encourage you to repeat these words and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Today, Jesus, I choose you again as the leader of my life. I thank you that your word is available to me. And I plan on being absorbed in your word, in your presence, and in your power. And so God, today, I give you permission to awaken your dream for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.